The first day of markups for the National Defense Authorization Act includes a big win for military personnel advocates, but potentially a big swing and a miss, too. The Personnel Subcommittee of the House Armed Services Committee rejects cuts to housing allowances, commissary funding, changes to TRICARE that would make some participants pay more out of their pockets. The subcommittee didn't say anything, though, about a 1% pay raise for troops in 2015. Colonel Mike Barron, U.S. Army retired, is Deputy Director of Government Relations at the Military Officers Association of America and my guest on Pentagon Solutions today to talk about the NDAA. Colonel, thank you very much for being on the program. Overall, I imagine, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I bet this was a big thumbs up as the Personnel Subcommittee finished their mark.
Yes. Well, first off, Francis, again, thank you so much for having me on the show. And we saw the marks that were done by the HASCA Personnel Subcommittee as very much a positive light. I mean, the main things are rejections of basically raising TRICARE fees, also reduction of the out-of-pocket housing allowances and the commissary benefits. We thought those were definitely a win on that part of it. But we are concerned about that the committee was silent, if you will, on the pay raise. We're concerned about that because that's basically the situation we ran into last year in the last legislative cycle. Congress over the last decade indexed military pay raises to ECI, Economic Cost Index, and so the pay raise should have been at 1.8%, and the administration asked for a 1% pay raise, and again, the committee kept silent on that, so we're concerned going forward with that. That would make it, for the second year in a row, the lowest pay raises that the force has seen since the implementation, if you will, of the all-volunteer force in 1973.
One of the provisions of this mark, Mike, that I thought was interesting is that the members seem to be interested, as Leo Shane reports in the Army Times, in doing kind of a survey or doing some kind of research into what the members of the military want in a benefits package that will be attractive to them. Todd Harrison of CSBA has been on this program talking about the work that he did a couple of years back in that area. But he even acknowledges it wasn't as comprehensive as it could be, and it wasn't as comprehensive, certainly, as the Defense Department itself can do. What are your thoughts about something like that? Because it seems with all of the argument about what they want and what they don't want, asking them might be the best way to go about finding out.
Well, I think Congress is concerned, Francis, because they've also, to look at this whole issue, they put in place in last year's NDAA, the Military Compensation and Retirement Modernization Commission, which is supposed to be looking at military pay and benefits and compensation to include health care in a very holistic manner. And they're taking a very broad-based approach to this comprehensively, and they're going to report out their findings in February 2015. And they are going out and they're doing town hall meetings with different installations of all the services around the country and even overseas to ask those type questions. So there are that is ongoing, and we support that process to look at all of this very holistically. And there also has been some surveys. I think the Washington Post and the Kaiser Family Foundation did a survey several weeks ago where they went out and asked about pay and benefits for both currently serving veterans of Iraq and Afghanistan and those that have already got out of the service. And, you know, the comments came back where basically they were not very much in favor of changing the current system, even those who had already gotten out of the service, who are now on veteran status, if you will, and had moved on with their life, either on using their GI Bill and going to school or were out seeking employment. So, but I clearly understand why they're concerned about it. They want to get some feedback from the force there. And again, that commission is doing that. They're going out there and getting that information as best they can from the force to try to get feedback. And that's from their family, service members' families as well, to give them feedback on what type of pay, compensation, and benefits would be most beneficial.
One could be cynical and say that the recent delay of the commission to report their findings is a punt to get it after, to push it to after the fall elections. On the other hand, some of the members that I talked to off the record said this is really important because if you're going to do this, you want to make sure that you do it right. You want to take the time to get the information correct, and you also want to be able to present it in at least as small, at as low a politically charged environment as you can. You certainly don't want to deliver information like that 2 or 3 months before an election. That makes sense, although I confess I'm more cynical than perhaps one should be in Washington, Colonel. The timing of this commission, does that mean anything to you at this point? Do you like the idea of that delay to try to present this information next spring rather than this summer?
I do, Francis, in the sense of why I'm heartened, if you will, of what their delay was. Originally, they were going to report out actually this next month. That was the original timeline, was to have them reporting out in May of 2014. I think when they started looking at it, and we've had discussions with them, we've testified before them, as has other associations, as well as officials from the Department of Defense and Veterans Affairs. But I think when they got into this, they really saw that there's a lot to this, and they needed to make sure that they did this right. And that's heartening in itself. And then also realizing all the things they needed to look at, they needed to have more time to do that and provide well-informed recommendations when they come out in February of 2015. So I think they're doing the right thing by doing this. I don't see any kind of particular hidden political agenda there. I just think it's a clear realization that there's a lot they need to look at comprehensively here and holistically, and they needed that extra time to make sure that they are, because they understand this is a very tough issue to wrestle with, and it can get into political realms pretty easily. So they're doing good due diligence by taking the amount of time they are.
I want to get back to the mark of the National Defense Authorization Act, mm-hmm. at least in the mm-hmm. Personnel Subcommittee. What are the things that we should be looking for as this markup proceeds to the full committee? A number of the other subcommittees were doing their marks today, and the full committee will be working soon. What should we be paying attention to moving forward, and what are you going to be watching as the full committee does its work and then the bill gets to the floor?
Well, we're going to be watching for there's some, several main concerns that we had going forward, that again, we are very heartened by by the marks that came out of the HASC subcommittee on personnel. But three things we're really looking for, concerned about going forward is that, again, that along with the items that were rejected by the HASC personnel subcommittee, those follow through are supported by the full committee of the HASC, which will happen, I think, around the 7th of May. And then also we've got, the next concern we have in this wider campaign, if you will, is what's going to happen on the Senate side. The SASC normally will mark up later than the HASC, and they've done that in the past, but what's going to go on in their mark later on this summer? And then ultimately, what's going to happen in the fall? This is an election year. What's going to happen in the fall when they get into the conference on that? But our key areas coming out of that thing, we were concerned about the pay raise not happening in the HASC subcommittee. But also, we wanted to make sure that the maintenance of the basic allowance for housing provision stays in there. It goes forward to maintain that as protecting our service members from that loss there. The commissary reductions don't go forward, as well as the TRICARE fee increases don't go forward. Because what that amounts to, Francis, overall, is that when we look at that, is that basically the purchasing power that's lost for a Sergeant E5, for if you will, in the Army with a family of four, is about $5,000. And for a young captain with a family of four, that lost purchasing power, if those DoD provisions are adopted, is about close to $6,000 out of their pocket.
Colonel, I appreciate you very much being on the program today, and we'll look forward to having you keep us updated as this bill proceeds.
Okay, thank you so much.